amen, as a topic. If life caves in, what then? If life caves in, what then? My brothers and sisters, I haven't personally experienced these things this week, but there have been a lot of things that have gone on within our community. Just the other day, as my wife and I were coming to a Bible study, we were rerouted off of Highway 82, and we found out that there was a fatal accident that occurred on Highway 82. And no sooner than we received that information that there was a family that was in a car accident, my brothers and sisters, we found out there was another family that lives right across the street from me that their house was on fire at that very moment. They lost everything that they had, all their possessions, all their furniture, everything that they had, all their clothes, lost everything. My brothers and sisters, we know that all over the world right now, in all of our communities, that there are cutbacks because of the economic situation. People are losing jobs. Amen. People that expected to get raises this year aren't getting raises. Amen. People that were expecting to get bonuses that you make it on year after year, those bonuses may not be there. If life caves in, what then? Amen. When you lose a loved one, someone that's close to you, what do you do? What do we do? We see that young men, young soldiers go over to serve our country, to defend our country. They go over there, young men, and they go over and just one fatal step, one step is a matter of life and death or losing a limb. We've seen so many of our soldiers come back that have been burned, and a lot of them are unrecognizable. A lot of them have lost legs, lost hands, lost arms. If life, as we see it, caves in, what then? If that husband or that wife that you love so much comes home and says, baby, I'm tired of this and I'm ready to do something different. If life caves in, what then? Amen. If we find out that our children are sick, amen, when the doctor gives you that report, when the doctor's report says that there's nothing we can do, when life caves in, what then? Amen. When everybody's talking bad about you on Facebook, because I realize for some of you, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. And it's a lie, and everybody believes it. When life caves in, what then? How do we react as Christians? How do we react as men and women of God? Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? My brothers and sisters, this particular passage of scripture, therefore, in Matthew 7 and 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. My brothers and sisters, I will serve you notice today that there is going to come a day in your life where something bad is going to happen. Something that's not expected is going to happen in your life. And my question is, how are we as men and women of God, how are we going to handle that? How are we, when life caves in, what then? Marvin Gaye said, make me want to throw up both my hands. Make me want to holler and throw up both my hands. Is that how we're going to handle it? How does the Bible instruct us to handle things that happen in our lives? But my question is, there's something that we have to do first. In building our house, in building our lives, in building our spiritual selves, my brothers and sisters, we have to be built on something that's here to stay. A lot of us are built on our bank accounts. Amen. But ask the employees of Enron that were investing into something that wasn't anything because somebody was lying. Ask those people about trusting your money or trusting figures. My brothers and sisters, as women and men of God, we have to be built on a foundation, on a rock to stay. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Amen? And look here. It says, a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And verse 25 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not. Anybody looking for some insurance today? Or some assurance? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. My brothers and sisters, if you're looking for protection, Jesus Christ can protect you. A relationship with him can protect you from things that may come. Amen? Well, what is your house built on? Heard Deacon Smith repeat what I said many times about us still being in church. Amen. Well, even when you leave here today, understand, my brothers and sisters, you're still in church. Amen. When you go to that restaurant after church today, you're still in church. Monday morning when you go to work, you are still in church. And you know what? If we're really built on that solid foundation, my brothers and sisters, wherever we go, we ought to still be in church. The way you're acting right now ought to be the way you act wherever you're going later on. Amen? What are we built on? I like it because when the storms came and the winds blew and it's going to blow and the wind and the rain's going to come in each and every one of our lives. I don't care if your name is pastor, missionary, deacon, deaconess, first lady, mother of the church. Something is going to come in your life and shake it up. I never will forget when Sister Roberta was going through her bout of sickness, when the doctor said she had cancer. The mother of our church never, ever, well, she said, well, they say, they say I got cancer, but I ain't got no cancer. And we prayed every day. You know what? And our sister is still here with us. Because she is built on the rock. Does she always say what we think she ought to say? No, she does not. Does she always do what we think she ought to do? No. But she's built on a rock, and the rock is there to stay. Amen? And the storms may come, and it's about our faith. Woo! You got to have faith in what you're standing on. But if you don't spend no time, if you don't know nothing about who you're standing on, then you don't even know all the benefits that you have. It's just like that beautiful TV you have. It's just like that cable box that you have. Do you know all the functions that your TV and your cable box has? Do you know all the functions that your computer has or your digital camera or your cell phone? How many of us have these cell phones and we can't do nothing but talk and text? But there's a whole lot of other stuff that this would do. You know why we don't know, amen, what we can do with this? It's because we haven't read the instruction manual. My brothers and sisters, this book right here is life's instruction manual. And if you would get in the manual, you'd know more about the rock and the foundation. Hallelujah, somebody. We have to face life with real faith. What was weird about this morning, not weird, but what was kind of profound about when I gave out the jelly beans, then I gave out some sour gum called Cry Baby. Because I was handing it out, they were all willing to receive it. Did y'all see that? Not one of them was like, mm-mm. Well, one of them already had cookies, so she's like, hey, I'm good. You can just share more with them. And even the two that got something that looked different than the others, just because I was handing it out, they accepted it. Let me tell you something. Life is handing out a lot of stuff. And we are willingly accepting what life is handing us. And sometimes it's not so sweet. But you still received it. How are you going to handle that? Amen? And that's what I want to help you with. If life caves in, what then? Because when they put that in their mouths, because they were standing in front of y'all, they really didn't want to show you how they felt about it. And they really didn't want to hurt my feelings because I gave it to them. They assumed that everybody had the same thing they had. But when I did like John Coffey, I took it back. And I gave him something sweet. And don't you know, if we endure, my brothers and sisters, through sometimes the uncomfortable things and the bitter things, that in the end, everything will be all right. And they got blessed double for their trouble. Amen? They ended up with two jelly beans instead of one. Because they went through the sour times. Are y'all going to pray with me? We have to face life with real faith, Brother Darrell. Real faith. We know that Satan has attempted to deceive since time started. Jesus Christ is speaking. God is speaking in Genesis chapter 1. And God created. God is doing this. God is doing this. God is doing that. God's talking. By chapter 3, Satan's already there. to mess up everything, to mess up man, to mess up all God's creations. So we have to understand that Satan is about his business and about his job. Are we doing what we need to do in order to be successful Christians and to be the type of Christians that other people, amen, want to follow? Amen? We must have faith that God is good, that he's a good God, and that all of his purposes toward us are purposes of love. What's awesome about them accepting my crybaby, they knew that I was up to something. And they took it anyway. And they held it until I said, here, spit it out in my hand. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? They held on to it. Normally, what would happen? You put it in your mouth, it's sour, you spit it out. But because of their loyalty and their love to their pastor, come on, somebody, their uncle, their family, they accepted what I gave them, even though it was nasty. Okay, can I fix this for you? My brothers and sisters, when those bad things come in our lives, we know Satan might have did it, but God gave him permission. And sometimes when those bitter things come, that they're there for a reason, because they'd have helped somebody else. See, they held on to the sour because they knew, well, he's probably going to do some kind of demonstration that's going to help everybody. Are y'all with me this morning? So they held on to it because of their love for me. My brothers and sisters, when you're going through, whoo, you got to learn how to go through, amen? You got to learn how to go through the storm and the rain. But what are you built on? We know that whatever we go through, my brothers and sisters, that the purpose is God's love is the purpose. You know, I think that one of the worst whoopings I ever got was for running out in the middle of the street, you know, at my little mama's house. And what I didn't know as a kid was when they were young, when my mom was young, a young lady got hit by a diesel on that same highway. So they knew the dangers of that road. And one of the worst whoopings I ever got was for getting in that highway. And that goes to show that sometimes because when we make decisions that aren't good decisions and we get a whooping, that was a whooping out of love. It wasn't out of hate. It wasn't out of anger. That whooping was to help me. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we go through things in life in order to help us. Amen? We go through trials and tribulations in order that they would help us. Amen? We must have faith to believe that God is at work for our good in all that happens. We know that Romans 8:28 says that we know that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Y'all know that's one of my favorite scriptures, amen? I quote it almost every Sunday because I want you to know that all things work together for the good for those who love God. Whatever you're going through, my brothers, it's for your good. Amen? When y'all said this before, but when life gives you lemons, sometimes we just got to flip that thing and make lemonade. Amen? Hallelujah. We have to have faith that God will not permit impossible burdens to come upon us. We know that Philippians 4:19 tells us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And we know that he won't put any more on us than we can bear. Amen? If we are truly children of God, whatever we're going through, my brothers and sisters, it won't be so much that we can't handle it. Most of us testify when we go through things that I thought I was going to lose my mind, but God sustained me. What do we do? And if life caves in, what do we do then? Good question. Glad you asked. We have to have faith to believe that there may be a redemptive purpose in our sufferings. Amen? We know that Apostle Paul, amen, had a thorn in his flesh. Wouldn't you agree that in his eyesight, maybe his life was caving in, maybe his health was caving in? There was a purpose in his suffering. For him, for us. We know that he had a thorn in his flesh, and the Bible says that on three occasions he went to God and asked God to remove the thorn from his flesh. And what did God tell him? My grace is sufficient for thee. My brothers and sisters, we have to go through what we're going through. Amen. Just like Paul did. Even though we may ask God, we may plead with God, Lord, take this away. Amen. It's for a redemptive purpose. Are y'all with me this morning? Because he says that my grace is sufficient enough for thee. So, you know what? When people see you praising through your problem. When people see you praising through your issue, it gives them strength. Are y'all with me this evening? But it was all about that what Paul went through was all about God's grace. Amen? The other thing that we have to do when I'm reminded of all these things that have transpired through this week, amen, the family losing family members, the house burning, amen, the person that might have lost their job, is we have to avoid faulty ways of facing tragedy. We have to avoid faulty ways of facing tragedy. Some of us don't face it right. Amen? Feelings of guilt and self-condemnation overwhelm some people when tragedy comes. When tragedy comes, what do? Oh, it's my fault. Oh, well, the reason why this is happening is because I did this. The Bible is full of sowing and reaping and sowing. And I did something back here, so that's why I'm going through this over here. But my brothers and sisters, we can't look at everything like that. There's a lesson behind everything that happens in our life. But behind every trial and tribulation in our lives, there's a lesson behind it. For God, for we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, if your life is built on the right foundation, see, I'm just talking straight up Jesus today. Because if your life is built on that, when all hell breaks loose, amen, you have something to hold on to, somebody to hold on to. You have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that's right there with you to lead you through every step of the way. Amen? We the other faulty ways that when we face tragedies is we shouldn't react to tragedy with bitter resentment and hatred. Sometimes when things happen to us, we just get mad at everybody. Well, I'm just in a bad mood. But you call yourself a child of God. But because you're going through a trial or tribulation, you're going through a test, you're going through a hard time, you're mad at everybody. But if you know that God is the author and the finisher of your faith, where is your faith, my brothers and sisters? Did we forget about God? Did we forget that we're still in church? And sadly, things don't always happen the way you want them to in church. I wanted it to be 70 degrees this morning when I got here, but the heater was on. But did we flip out and, oh, let's go home. I don't know who did it, who messed up. No. You get it right and you move on. So there may be a reason why it's hot in here. Somebody over there might have needed the heater on this morning. It wasn't me, but somebody might have needed it. Amen? My brothers and sisters, we shouldn't react to tragedy with resentment and hatred. It's even like the situation that just transpired in Colorado during the movie where the young man came in and just started shooting people. That there are a lot of people that I'm sure that are angry about that situation. But we have to understand and know that God is in control. Amen? If life caves in, what then? There's somebody in that situation that feels like they can't go on. But you know what? Your testimony is important. The fact that you've overcome. The fact that your relationship, you thought your relationship was over, but God fixed it. The fact that you had a dreaded disease, but God healed your body. That's why it's so important for us to share with each other. Amen? Woo! My brothers and sisters, the other thing that we should avoid, and Deacon Smith touched on this in our men's meeting the last time, is Some people resort to artificial escapes from tragedy. Some people turn to drugs and alcohol. Some people turn to drugs and alcohol as soon as times get tough. Oh, man, I'm just going to have me a drink. Man, it made me feel better. Isn't it funny how they look at it out there? Isn't that amazing how they hit it and look at it? Same thing with marijuana. What is that? Last time I saw somebody smoke a joint, that's what they did. They said, what you looking at it for? Oh, I got friends in low places. I had friends in low places. Amen? Ooh, y'all like, Pastor, I can't believe you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Looking at it. And as soon as the drunk is over, as soon as the high is over, you got the same problem. But what do we do when life caves in? Man, mama died, man. Come on, we going to just party like it's 1999. And you still got to go to the funeral in 3 days. Coming out drunk, and you know, then you miss the whole funeral. Then you at a loss because you didn't get to pay your last respect. Because you was peeled up and liquored up. A lot of us resort, a lot of people resort to those types of things, though. Husband and wife get into it, he go to the bar. Husband and wife get in, she go to girls' night out, martini party. Husband and wife get into it, she go run up the credit cards. Artificial. Emotional spending. No, that's the devil. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Well, what do you do when you're going through? Amen? Yeah, I'm preaching pretty good this morning. Y'all may not be, you know, up jumping and screaming and hollering, but I know this is good stuff. Artificial stuff. Oh, she don't want me. Well, I'm going to go over here with. You just created another problem. She's crazy too. He worked too much, but he'll hit you in your mouth. Did y'all catch that one? You leave your man because he, girl, he work all the time. Don't never spend no time with me. Then you go get Leroy over here, and Leroy don't work, and he will hit you in your mouth. That's what I'm talking about. This is real stuff, y'all. I'm sorry. Uncut at the OC this morning. I want to help y'all this morning. When you're going through, when everything caves in, what then? How are we going to react? The Bible says that we are the light and the salt of the earth. And what good is the salt if it's lost its savor? What good are we if every time a problem happens in our lives, we... Y'all see me. When my son had the accident, I came to church that Sunday morning in a sweatsuit and preached. I don't know what I said, but I preached. I'm pretty messed up, though. That's my baby. That's my boy. I love him. He's mine. You know, I came on in here and preached, but, you know, my son have a wreck, and I'm out. How's that example for the rest of us? And guess what? When you, something going on in your life, well, Pastor didn't show up for 6 months after his son had a wreck. Come on, guys. What do we do when we're going through? Amen? You know what? I respect DQ. DQ was the favorite to be the state champion, amen, in powerlifting. Y'all remember that? And he got down to the regional finals, and he disqualified. But you know what? He didn't try to kill himself. He didn't take to the street, start selling dope on the corner. Amen? He already has some medals, you know. But he took it like a man. And I believe that his relationship with Christ is the reason why he was able to accept bad news. Man, who y'all making me work hard this morning? My brothers and sisters, what we must do in order to avoid faulty ways of facing tragedy, if life caves in, we'll know what to do is if we grow a faith that can sustain us. That's what we have to do. We have to grow a faith that can sustain each and every one of us. Are y'all want to roll with me for a second? We must become closer. We must become doers of the word as well as hearers of the word. I like when Brother Marcus reads this scripture. He says, what do you say, brother? Blessed readers, hearers, and most of all, doers of his word. If we do what the instruction manual tells us to do, are y'all with me? We must become doers of, guess what? Bless them that curse you. Woo, I know it's hard to do, but that's A-plus Christian stuff. Amen? Love them that despitefully misuse you and abuse you and accuse you and lie on you and all that stuff. That's big time Bible stuff, my brothers and sisters. Love your neighbor as yourself. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Women, submit. Wives, submit to your husbands. Uh-oh. You know what the problem is in most of our homes and our marriages? It's backwards. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your own husband. But look at what we do. Brother Ricks, look at what we do. Watch this. Most of us as men, we submit to our wives, and the wives love the husband. They doing all the loving, and we doing all the submitting. Okay, baby, whatever you say. All right, baby. But if you know the reason, you know the reason why they don't submit to us? Because we don't do it according to the way the word tells us to do it. Somebody got to be the man. Ooh-wee, I know that's a... Whoa. Stop throwing tomatoes. I'm sorry. But most men, though, men submit. But men, you can't lead if you don't lead the way the word say lead. And women, you got to let him. That's tight, but it's right. Big Mama said, boy, take this catfish medicine. Hold your nose and swallow it. It's good for you. Hold your nose and swallow it this morning. It's good for you. Men, if we're men of God, guess what? She will submit. Oh, boy. Ooh-wee. Pull out good stuff, boy. You get it right. Y'all got quiet on that. I'm just telling you what's real. Amen? We should face our daily trials with joy. The book of James tells us, count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. That's what the word says, amen? We have to face our problems, my brothers and sisters, on our knees. Y'all think I made that up? James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that give it to all men liberally and unbraidly not, and it shall be given unto him. That's a prayer right there. If we lack wisdom to get through trials and tribulation, all we have to do is fall down on our knees and ask God to do it. Amen? And my brothers and sisters, we also have to enjoy the blessings day by day that God gives us. See, some of us, we want to live in the past. And then some of us want to live in the future. But what about right now? Because if something comes, it's going to come. Whatever moment it is, it's going to be a right now moment. But you're looking past right now. Well, next week, next month, next. But when things happen, tragic things happen right now. And my brothers and sisters, we have to live life one day at a time. We have to live life one day at a time. If life caves in, what then? Bible says that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's what the word says. There are a lot of you that have hopes and dreams. And just because one thing didn't go the way you wanted it to go, you've given up on your dream. Just because one thing didn't go your way, you said, well, just forget it. But my brothers and sisters, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. We have to continue to diligently seek Christ in everything that we do and have 100% faith that he's going to work it out for us. Amen? The will to live is an awesome thing. You know, I recall, you know, we rejoice because Sister Roberta overcame her situation, her bout with cancer. And then I look at our beloved Sister Brown, amen, that never, not one minute thought, amen, that she was sick unto death. But you know what? If she was fixed up, and I believe that she was, if she was fixed up with Jesus, my brothers and sisters, even in her death, there was victory. Amen? If everything caves in, all the money that she had, the nice house, the cars, the trips that she took, at the end of the day, the only thing that meant anything was Jesus. Because my brothers and sisters, we all have to go somewhere. We all have to leave this life. Amen. The question is, where are we going to go? Choose this day whom you will serve. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. For me and he, when I say my house, I'm talking about Orange Chapel. I'm talking about all of us. Because they're going to come trials and tribulations, my brother. But I don't want us to go AWOL. I want us to stick here with the fight. Y'all remember the old Western called Brandit? The guy that was a coward, amen, that he got kicked out of because they said he ran. And all through the Western, they chased after him because he was a traitor. Big Mama, you say God don't want no coward soldiers. Amen? And whatever it is, amen, that we're going through, we have to know, my brothers and sisters, that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? He loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to prosper. Amen. He wants us to be successful. How many of y'all knew that? But you know what? To get where you're going, in order to get to Roxton, when I leave here today, I'm going to have to cross some bridges, some creeks, some valleys, some curves, some hills. And in life, it's the same way. Life doesn't always give you exactly what you want. Amen. We all want a house on the hill. We want fancy cars and nice clothes. But as long as you have King Jesus, you don't need anybody else. The Bible speaks of a rich man named Lazarus. Amen. The Bible says that Lazarus died and was buried. But the poor man, the beggar, he died and was carried. I'd much rather be carried than buried. And if your foundation, if your house is built on Jesus Christ, and when I say your house, guess what I'm talking about? And I got to close this out. I meant to be finished already. If your house is built on Christ, that means your family, your church, your marriage, your children, your job. Shall I keep going? Everything about you, if your house is built, your personality is built on Christ. Woo! Think about that. If it's all constructed and he is the foundation, that means, guess what the foundation is doing right now? It's holding us up. And he'll hold you up if you let him. Amen? All right, come on. Tony, I know some of y'all is waiting on the yelling and screaming and hooping, right? Y'all want me to do it? Y'all ready? Let me tell you something. When Christ is your foundation, amen, he will protect you from evil. He'll protect you from all harm. He will. Amen. Some of us, we may have to endure some things, but he will protect you. There was a story. Amen. There's a story of a old preacher that was having problems in his church. And some of the, y'all know them old deacons that used to sit on the side. They didn't even sit where everybody else did. They had their own little section over there. Y'all remember what I'm talking about. And they look upside the preacher's head, and you know, some of them just sit there and they couldn't stand him. And they tried all they could to run him off. But they didn't realize that what his foundation was. They talked to the members, and the members wouldn't vote him out. They went around the community and talked bad about this particular preacher. Amen. And one of them said, you know what? The only way we're going to get rid of this joke is if we kill him. So they all got together, brought their money, devised a plan, hired a hitman. And everything came, and he knew that they didn't want him there anymore. But he was on assignment. God had placed him there. He couldn't leave if he wanted to because he was on assignment. So late one night, he was down at the church studying like he always did, and they knew his routine. They hired a fella to take him out. He's going to be down there. As soon as that light goes off, he comes out of the church. He locks the door, and he takes this same path every time. So the little hitman, he gets in position. He grabs his rifle. Preacher's singing a hymn. He locks the door. As he turned to walk down the path, he said, "Love, are you with me?" Love said, "Preacher, I'm right here." He said, "Goodness, are you with me?" Goodness said, "Preacher, I'm right here." He said, "Mercy, are you with me?" Mercy said, "Preacher, I'm right here." Then he said, "Jesus, are you with me?" Jesus said, "Preacher, I'm right here." Tammy started walking down the path. Just walking. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. Hitman got in place. He said, as soon as he comes out of these trees, I'm going to take a shot. Gets in place. He said, wait a minute. He said, I get him. I move over here. So he moves over and he gets in position again. Oh, man. So he moves it one more. He moves again. Still couldn't get a shot off. He moved one more time. Four times he moved. He moved to the left. He moved to the right. He moved to the front. And you know how Satan is. If he can't get you from the front and the side, he'll come from behind. Went behind him and he still couldn't get a clean shot off. He said, man, forget this. He just threw his rifle down. Walked on home. Next morning, he goes over to the preacher's house. Preacher, I need to talk to you. Pastor wipes his eyes and, oh, okay. Goes to the door. Said, brother, can I help you? He said, well, I just want you to know something. Last night, I was hired to kill you. You know those deacons down at your church that don't like you? They hired me to take you out. He said, I went on one side. When you were coming down the road, I was on one side. And I lined you up in my sights, but there was a man on the right side. I moved over and I lined my gun up on you on the other side. And there was another man on the left side. Then I went to the front and I put my sight so and there was a man in front, and then I went behind you and there was a man behind you. He said, can you tell me what it looked like? He said, well, he had hair like sheep wool. He had skin that looked like polished brass. Oh, he had kneecaps that looked like diamonds. And across him, he had a shawl that said, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Preacher began to smile. He said, well, it sounds like my Jesus, my protector, my shield. Hallelujah. My salvation. My brothers and sisters, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when life is caving in, he'll protect you. When life is caving in, my brothers and sisters, he was